We'll look at a different movie and talk about some of the practical and spiritual and philosophical implications of that movie and how it's inspired our various speakers. Today, we're going to look at the movie City of Angels, and we have a very special treat because Robin Touré is going to come and speak with us. Now, she has been part of our community for some time, and many of you will recognize her. She's an amazing woman. I think you're really going to enjoy listening to her. She'll talk a little bit about herself, share some of her story in what she shares, so I don't want to steal her thunder. But let's give her a really loud, warm welcome for Robin Touré. Come on up, Robin.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. As Matthew said, I am Robin Touré. I don't know how wonderful I am or fantastic, but just give me a second because I'm so nervous. I have to set my stuff up. I have my tissues. I have two pairs of glasses just in case I forgot. I have smelling salt. There's only one person in here not allowed to administer, and this she already knows who's not allowed to do the smelling salt. And then I have, okay, oh, and I turned my cell phone on buzz. So I am just thrilled to death to do this, but I really had to give props to Matthew and Ruth because it took me like 4 months, honestly, to prepare this 30-minute presentation, and they do it every week. I would give one sermon a year if it was up to me. But thank goodness I had to write everything down. So I'm going to look up as often as I can. But you'll see me looking down a lot because I'm ADD, and if I don't follow my script, I'll be all over the place. So again, good morning. My name is Robin Touré. My movie is City of Angels. I'm honored and excited. And I feel extremely blessed that I'm being allowed to give this presentation. I'm sorry, it's my age. It's not, the tears are not for anything. It's just my age. I do have a disclaimer. I'm not a Bible scholar, and my presentation is based as much on my own feelings as it is on my biblical conversations and research that I've done. My prayer is that this subject will be well received and that if nothing else, it sparks a conversation. My movie is the 1998 film City of Angels. It stars Nicolas Cage and as the angel Seth, who is faced with a very important decision, and Meg Ryan is Dr. Maggie Rice. She portrays a surgeon that does not believe in any power higher than herself. This movie is a redoing of the 1988 film, Wings of Desire. The clip that you're about to see is the trailer for the movie, and of course it highlights the main scenes, and as we review, I will touch on some of these scenes and relate them to the scriptures and some of my personal experiences. So if you'll watch this first clip, excuse me.
In a place called the City of Angels, one of us,
Dr. Rice,
300,
is about to meet one of them.
Have you ever been seen, Cassiel? Have you ever been seen like you were a man?
Come on, don't do that.
He's going.
He's not going anywhere.
That doctor in the operating room, she looked right at me.
She didn't see you, Seth. She can't see you. No one can see you unless you want them to.
And if I want her to?
What do you want to do?
Hello, Maggie.
How did you know my name?
Are you in despair?
I lost a patient.
It wasn't your fault, Maggie.
Those eyes, the way you looked right down into me.
I can't see you, but I know you're there.
Who are you?
Nathaniel Messenger, former celestial body, recent addition to the human race.
You want proof?
You can speak every language, you travel with the speed of thought,
and you're reading my mind right now.
Stop that.
You're doing it.
Here you are again. This is Earl.
He told me.
What else did he tell you?
He worries that you never sleep, and he loves to see you smile.
I wait all day just hoping for one more minute with you,
married?
No.
Are you homeless?
No.
Are you a drummer?
Seth knows no fear, no pain. He hears music in the sunrise, but he'd give it all up. He loves you that much.
What's that taste like?
You don't know what a pear tastes like?
I don't know what a pear tastes like to you.
In June of this year, we reviewed the subject of choice with the series In Search of Wisdom for Life. I'm going to kiss this presentation. I'm going to keep it simple. I left the other S off because you know it's K-I-S-S. In a nutshell, the movie is a love story about the angel Seth, who is on Earth serving God when he comes into contact with a doctor, Maggie. This contact tempts him with the desire of human feelings and the wish for mortality. He wants to smell and hurt and bleed and taste. And most of all, he wants to feel human love. He is tempted and must make a choice. Does he give the feeling of love, which is the deepest human feeling, a chance? Or does he remain true to God and keep doing as he was assigned to do? On the other hand, we have Maggie, the doctor, that believes she is all that and more. Maggie is a surgeon with no spiritual faith. She believes that she has control over life itself. She is filled with such confidence that she actually states that the person on her operating table will not die because she will not allow it. She only questions her own power when the patient dies. She will be faced with the choice of believing in her own power or choosing to accept that there is a power higher than herself. We must consider her attitude when we watch this movie. For our own lives, we must decide to trust God or lean on our own strengths. We may not believe that we control life or death, but many of us try very hard to foresee every aspect of our lives. By this, I mean many times people try to control an outcome. Often when faced with a life trial, instead of making the decision of letting go and letting God, we are fast at work, heading off and patching up life's problems. We have to remind ourselves that we must do our best and then let God do the rest. I have a testimony about this. I've mentored many young people, 4-H clubs, teens, and even my children's friends. But for some reason, it seems my daughter could refer her friends to me for advice, but she wouldn't take any advice personally. For years, she literally wandered the streets as a teen. Her friends were not necessarily all bad, but she would find a way to lead them the wrong way. For weeks at a time, we would not know where she was. I wondered, cried, and had heated arguments with my husband about her path in life. The one thing I never did was give up praying. I do not remember asking God why. I knew that she would be okay. I had chosen to let God handle the problems in my life from a very early age. My husband believes in God, but I do not believe that he was willing to really wait on the Lord's decision for our daughter's life. My husband always had the sky is falling attitude. My husband would be so angry with me because he would ask where she was, and I would say, I don't know where she is, but I know where she isn't. And let me just throw this in here. My husband and my daughter are not here, so they can't defend themselves. This is my truth. They probably would have a different truth. I believe that she wasn't with people that would physically harm her. Again, I say that I chose to let and put it in God's hands. I can't say enough that I knew she would be all right eventually. The going through was hard, but I knew that my decision to trust God had proven to be without fail so often that I had to trust him with our children's lives. I chose to really let God handle the problem. One day after she was gone for about 2 weeks, a woman saw her at a metro stop. And this is the story I got because I was out of town. When I came back, this is what my husband and my daughter both told me. She was just standing at the metro stop. I guess she was out of money. I don't know where her friends were. She was just standing there. And a woman looked at her and said, "Do you want to go home?" And my daughter said, "Yes." And the woman turned out to be a pastor. And she brought her to our home and spoke with my husband. When I returned, I wanted to contact the woman, but her contact information was lost, and I have never been able to thank her. With this being said, I believe and still hold fast to that old saying that if you're going to pray about it, don't worry about it. If you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. My daughter has proven to be a wonderful mother. In fact, today is her birthday. She's 30-something. I can't tell you how old, because then that'll tell you how old I am. She's proven to be a beautiful mother, and she says that she doesn't remember some of the things that she did in her past, but she feels that her strength comes from her past trials. She still may not always take my advice, but at least now she asks me for it almost every day. And she still refers her friends on a regular to me for guidance. While watching this movie, keep the question in mind, what decision or choice would you make or have you made in reference to serving God? I have seen this movie at least 5 times. I love this. I love Nicolas Cage. I love the fact that it makes us think of protection and care God affords us. I get a kick out of riding down the highway and looking at the overhead, the overpasses, and just pretending that there are heavenly bodies watching and protecting us. But please remember that this is Hollywood. The movie and anyone viewing it may miss some of the truths because we're caught up in the theatrics of it all. One truth being that angels are mentioned almost 300 times in the Bible. Angels are not and have never been human. Angels give guidance and instruction. They have been known to make presentations for God. I have chosen to deal with the topic of choice for this movie. Again, I'm going to KIS it. The next clip that you're going to see serves to introduce Seth and Maggie's character in the movie. So please watch this.
Hang on. Hang on. It just feels cold because you're so hot.
Susan, stay with me. Susan!
She's been disoriented, confused.
She said that she saw a man in her bedroom. Are you cold?
Hey, swing it. Is it wide now?
Let's give her out to the
Yes, doctor.
How's her breathing?
Thomas.
definitely knew what she liked.
Pajamas?
Flannel with feet.
Pajamas? Excellent choice. What else?
In the elevator of the Bradbury building, a man touched a woman's bare skin by accident. But it made her turn and look at him in such a way.
And they...
Yes.
That was a good day.
Do you ever wonder what that would be like? Touch?
No.
Yes, you do.
Occasionally, yes. Touch.
He's never gonna leave her.
20 minutes, 20 minutes. Everything in this damn city is 20 minutes. Still 20 minutes.
£6, 4 ounces. My daughter has a daughter.
Federal 595, heavy, slow immediately to match preceding aircraft, over.
Jesus, wake up, wake up.
The little girl asked me if she could be an angel.
They all want wings.
I never know what to say.
Tell them the truth. Angels aren't human. We were never human.
What if I just make her a little pair of wings out of paper?
Tell her the truth.
I told her.
And? How does she take it?
She said, what good would wings be if you couldn't feel the wind on your face?
The next scene should be Maggie Rice's character coming up.
Kill the music. Get her back in here.
Give 100 light.
Charging
two.
Charging 200.
Go, 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 go.
Dr. Rice.
200.
Ready. Clear. Ready.
Clear.
V-fib, no pressure.
Have you given lidocaine?
100's gone in.
Buzz him again. Paddle to 300.
300. Clear. Still nothing.
Start compression. Kill the alarm. Hold up. Not working. Gotta open them. How long to go back on?
It'll take me 10 minutes to set up.
Come on. Nothing.
Nice. Internal paddle. Charge 20.
Ready.
20. Hit it.
Nada.
Go to 30. 30. Hit it.
No response.
Mom, I gotta get back on bypass here.
Almost there. Give me 7 more minutes.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Don't do this. Come on.
He's going.
He's not going anywhere. Tom? Come on. Come on. Tom! Come on!
It's okay, though.
gonna have to get rid of these shoes now. I come.
Yeah.
Mrs. Balfour?
Oh.
Where's the doctor?
I'm the doctor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dr. Rice. I operated on your husband.
How is he?
He didn't survive. We were able to restore blood flow to the heart with the operation, but he developed a lethal arrhythmia and we were unable to resuscitate him.
Wait, I'm sorry, I don't understand. A what?
I'm sorry.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
What did you say?
I'm sorry. What happened? The graft occluded what? It was textbook. I'm so sorry. The room got so big, I was so small. How did I get so small? I should have gone back on. I should have massaged longer. I lost it.
As I have mentioned before, I've seen this movie many times. I was caught up with the presence of angels and how the writer portrayed them in the film. It wasn't until I decided to do this presentation that I realized the angels in the film were not meant to be the message, and that this is more than a love story. The real message was meant to be, we all have choices to make. In my mind, the most important options are, do we serve God or do we serve ourselves? Do we trust that God has our backs or do we rely on our own strengths? There are many scriptures that address the fact that God has given us many opportunities to make a choice between serving him or not serving him. In Genesis 2:17, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Then we read in Genesis 3:16, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. As we can see, God gave the command in Genesis 2:17, but he left the choice to the woman and her husband. They made the choice to disobey. They ate the fruit and experienced the consequences of their actions. Temptation is real, and every day we make choices about our relationships with coworkers, children, God. Some things that help us choose are we happy, loved, or even are we making others happy? I really like the suggestion that we should simply do the right thing and trust our decisions are good, often removing our self-desires and putting someone else first in the choices that we have to make. Again, another scripture that gives a clear choice to love God and then gives the result if we do not keep his commands. I'm only using this scripture to emphasize the choices God has given us over time. We are given the choice and a consequence. I don't want to go into what rewards or outcomes that may be achieved by obeying or disobeying, for there are other sections of the Bible that we can research about that topic, and to me, that's a whole nother movie. So, in Deuteronomy 30:15-18, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. Once again, Seth's choice. Does he continue serving God as an angel, or does he live as a mortal on earth and experience life as a human? He understands everything that he will be giving up to experience life as a human. He becomes distracted by the human he is charged with protecting. His sunrise prayers appear to take backseat to the worldly love he will choose. On the other hand, Maggie, the doctor, has several encounters with Seth and falls in love. She comes to believe that there is a higher power, and she begins to experience what she considers true love, still in the earthly sense. In this third clip, the power of being still, that's what I've titled it, if you could just watch this short scene. In this short scene, we can see the power of quiet and being still and just experiencing the presence of God. Maggie feels God's presence, and while walking through the nursery in the hospital, she attempts to get away from the hustle and bustle by going to the nursery. In her quietness and stillness, she is able to begin the process of acceptance. Maggie is able to be a witness that there is something higher than herself. She will learn to trust the invisible. She is able to concentrate and make a life-changing decision. There are other scriptures that show God's presence while being alone and still. I'm not going to show these, but Mark 1 and 35, Luke 4 and 42, both of these passages show Jesus praying in a solitary place. We can also use this following scripture, Matthew 14 and 23. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. Many years ago, I became very close friends with a woman who prayed the same time daily. She retreat to her room, and it didn't matter who was in her house. She was isolated, and she prayed, and she was alone with the Lord. I always admired her ability to close out everyone, including her children, and hold a one-on-one conversation with God. But I never appreciated what she was doing until recently. There have been several times in my life where I feel that God has given me a much-needed time out. I feel that these past 2 or 3 years where I've been going back and forth to Chicago to help out with my grandchildren has given me months at a time where I could just meditate on the word of the Lord, where for hours at a time I was quiet and I was able to decompress. I had time to refresh and rebuild and come back to Maryland and be able to deal with everyday life with a new energy. I love how these times have come in my life, and I didn't even realize what was happening until I paused to give thanks and realized that I felt like a new person. I believe people need times to build, rebuild, refresh, and regroup. I am now in the habit of ending each night and beginning each day with a quiet time. I wake automatically when the birds start singing outside my bedroom window. That could be any time from 3 to 5:30 in the morning. It just depends, because you know at this age you wake up different times. This is my quiet time. I pray and sometimes listen to a recorded sermon. It is a joy to be able to see the trees and sky from my window in my home. There are times when the peace of no phone, no TV, no radio, no husband have left my mind free to focus on God. I'm sure if you all stop and think, there will be instances that you, like me, have had God-given times to refresh and rebuild, to come back and face life's challenges afresh. You will agree that being focused and quiet both have real benefits. In this final clip, when you read the critics' synopsis of this film, they call it The Fall. I've titled it The Switch. The only way you're going to agree with me maybe is if you watch the whole film. But anyway, this is a very short clip, and it's entitled The Fall or The Switch. I will not show the final scene, but I will say that in true Hollywood fashion, Seth is overcome with joy as he begins living his life as a human under the watchful eye of what once were his fellow angels. Seth's symbolic fall grants him his desire to be human, and he will experience all the failings that humans have. He will learn the wonders of life. While Maggie is filled with the peace that is evidenced by the glow in her eyes, on her face, I'm saying you have to watch the film. Because I've, like I said, I've seen it so many times, but I've seen it from a new light watching it to do this presentation. I don't want to spoil the ending, and then you can decide if you think they made the right choices. What choice would you have made? After watching the end, does she choose to believe? Would you make an alternate ending? The good part about doing these is that we get a chance to purge and to, you're going to know more about me probably than you ever wanted to know. I have another testimony to give. And in many instances, situations that have challenged my faith, times that I've had that some would consider hard decisions to make. I've been married for 37 plus years to a Muslim. Actually, we'll have our 38th anniversary on August the 9th. We got married on my birthday. Each day for 37 plus years, I've chosen my Christian faith, baptized twice, tried my best to educate my two children from birth about my Christian faith. I also believe that from the day I called my pastor 37 years ago and told him I would be marrying a Muslim, and he yelled, "Oh my God!" Oh, he almost passed out on the phone. God has used the union to strengthen my faith as a Christian. You see, I was brought up in a very poor home, the type of poor that meant our family might have only one utility in any given month. So when the gas was off, we used the electric hot plates, y'all probably don't even know those, to cook. And when the electric was off, we used candles for the light in the house. In fact, we set our house on fire one time, but that's another movie too. We did not always live in a nice neighborhood in Philly. I had many choices to make as a child. I could have chosen sex, drugs, alcohol over an education. I could have chosen to have children by the age of 16, like my great-grandmother, my grandmother, or my mother. But praise be, I was the first in the family to not only complete high school, but my mother and I would graduate from college within months of each other. I could have chosen to stay at home, but instead, every chance I had, I was in church, even when no one in our home was going. Will you edit this crying part out of the podcast? Can you? Back then, we went to vacation Bible school twice a day, once in the morning at one church and then to a different church in the evening. Because, see, the churches back then, you'd get cookies and juice for a snack. And so my mom would send all of us twice a day to vacation Bible school, and it served kind of as a child care for her, too. She had a couple hours free from all those kids. My marriage has taught me patience, respect for others, and strengthened my desire to be closer than ever to God. While my husband is praying in Arabic, I'm praying to Jesus. While he reads his Quran, I'm reading the Bible. I'm getting a little bit better at that. He's a whole lot better than I am, even at reading the Bible. I am nowhere near perfect. To be real, those early mornings when I'm speaking with God just happens to sometimes coincide with the times my husband wakes for the first of his 5 daily prayers. When he fasts, I use time to fast and concentrate on areas of the Bible where I'm not that well versed. So, you know, I spend a whole lot of time concentrating. I really try to be a good example of a Christian, so much so that after my father-in-law's first visit from Africa, he was the head of the mosque in his area of the country. After his first visit to from Africa, he returned home and told friends, "You know, Christians aren't all that bad." My husband actually gave me a Christmas gift after having it for years. He intended to give me these large 24-karat gold earrings when I converted to Islam. When he came to the realization that that was never going to happen, I received them as a Christmas gift. And these aren't the earrings, by the way. To close, I don't believe that God wants us to suffer or to make unwise choices. God knows that a forced love is never a true love. A love freely given is a love worth having, and it is a love that endures. This is one reason we're given choices. It has been said, seek the Holy Spirit in all things so that you can walk closely with Jesus and avoid distraction and confusion. We can do this by taking a time out, by being alone at times to pray, by meditating on the Word of God. One of my favorite scriptures is shown in Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, I believe that following this advice, we can lead to making good decisions because we're focusing on the Word of God. Let each one of us live as godly as we can. Read and remember this spirit. There are verses that may further serve as a guide as to how we may live and grow closer to God and make wise decisions. Living a godlike life is not always easy. There are times when you're challenged by neighbors that take your assigned parking spot, or persons that cut you off on the highway, or the youngster that rushes past you to enter the mall and doesn't hold the door for you, or the clerk on the register that is on her cell phone and doesn't acknowledge you. Notice I put all the yous on you because I don't have those problems. So look, we will read in Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Remember that this is written, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." To tie everything together, when making decisions, we can consider and use these things to come to a decision that we can trust is right. First, wisdom. Using what is given us by the written word. Study, meditate, and concentrate on the written word. Be humble. The decision should be about what is right. Try not to be biased. It's not always about ourselves. Admit when you don't have all the answers. And truth. Are you lifting someone up? Are you helping by providing this truth? I know I said that was the final thing. Matthew and Ruth don't know that I like to go rogue. I just have a little thing that I came up with afterwards, and it has to do. I just want to thank everybody for allowing me to do the presentation. I picked the movie because I thought it would be one that we could look at from several different angles. I chose the subject of choice. In addition to the points on the final screen, I've been blessed to be surrounded by a group of friends, true friends, that help keep everything real and help ease the tension of everyday life. These are people that are not afraid to say or give an unbiased opinion. I've also found that my D group is a good place for members to use to use as sounding boards, or to just sometime purge, or just let them know what your heart is. I am blessed to be a member of this church, and my ghostwriter, she knows who she is, was more than a blessing than preparing for this. It was so nice to have someone with an accent call you lovely. Again, I say, if you all would pray with me, I am done. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace and unending love. Lord, we are here with open hearts, ready to depend on you to help us through the day. Help us be wise, humble, and encouraging as we remember that we are your children. Help us live in a way that brings honor to your name. These things we pray. Amen. The video is also, anybody who wants to, I have a couple copies. If you want to borrow it, you feel free. I just need your social security number, driver's license. No, just let me know and I'll be glad to lend it out. Thank you so much.
Please stand and sing with us as we sing our closing song.